What's up, everybody? I'm Dalton Johnson. He's Monty Poole, and welcome back to another edition of Dubs Talk, presented by Wendy's. And Monty, I wish I had some Wendy's this morning instead of just my usual cup of coffee, because I would have been doing breakfast better. Wake up to oven-baked bacon and savory sausage in a breakfast baconator. You need to start looking forward to tomorrow morning at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours only. And I also know that the NBA is obviously hungry for more free agency news right now. And the Warriors were hungry for some good news on Kevon Looney, which it looks like they got today, with Looney reportedly coming back on a 3-year, $25.5 million deal. So again, we have talked about how we saw that as priority number one for the Warriors. That's checked off a to-do list after what was kind of a tough start to free agency for them. So just how big was getting Looney back on that 3-year deal?
I think it was huge. I mean, first of all, I think it's a bargain. You know, I thought he'd be closer to 10 a year, maybe 11 a year, somewhere in there. So, but I know that he wanted to be back. You know, I think players like him, you know, who've been through what he has been through, they really appreciate having an organization that stands by them, that believes in them. And I think back to Sean Livingston when he got to the Warriors, and you know, he had a 3-year contract initially, and he re-signed like within the first hour, or he recommitted to within the first hour of free agency. And I texted him, and he said, "You can't put a price on happiness," you know. And so, and Sean obviously had been through a lot in his career before he found the Warriors. And so Loon, his family, they all love it here. And so I thought that if anyone was going to give them a hometown discount, it would be Kevon. And it worked out great for them. The Warriors still have, you know, they still need to fill a roster spot, maybe two. But I think in this case, they got the guy they wanted to have back because, as Steve Kerr said, he's central to so much of what they do. And I think that the tandem of he and James Wiseman can make a pretty good center combo.
Yeah, it feels like a win. Like you can go down the line for the Warriors as far as how like this is a win for them overall, on the court, off the court. Andre Iguodala talked about what a respected voice in the locker room Kevon has turned into, someone who kind of really gauges the room really well and sees, hey, we need to pick this guy up or we need to pick that guy up. You know, so he gets it. You know, he's 26 years old, but he's a seasoned veteran by now. You know, Steve Kerr has talked extensively about what an irreplaceable player this is. And I love right. that you bring up the Wiseman situation, because a lot of people, you know, when you talk about Wiseman and you talk about Looney, obviously the injury concerns and the slow start to Wiseman's career is front of mind. But I also think that they could be a really good complement to each other. I mean, you look at their different kind of offsetting skill sets. One guy's 6'9". Bob Myers even said last week before the draft that when Looney was first drafted, he wasn't really seen as a center. He was seen more as a four. Some even saw him as a 6'9", you know, small forward at times, but he's turned into such a good small ball center. And Wiseman's the 7-footer, the guy who's the rim runner. So it seems like the tandem for that kind of contract, it fits the timelines really well too.
Yeah, and you look at those two guys, and roughly, you know, you got Wiseman and Looney for less than $10 million a year next season, for less than $20 million a year combined, I should say. So, and I think they like that idea. You know, I know there was some interest in Nemanja Bjelica coming back as a possible stretch five option, but if Wiseman and Looney are healthy, and with both of these guys, you know, that's, you got to worry about that a little bit. But if they're healthy, I think the Warriors have something there if they stay healthy, because, you know, neither one has to play 30, 35 minutes a night, and they both bring different skills. So I look at Looney, like you said, you know, he's a rim protector. Looney can shoot the three, you know, he can face the basket and hit shots. So this is a case too, where the Warriors are looking at, you know, their player development staff, you know, and so they look at Looney and they look at what Decky was able to do for Looney and what he hopes to be able to do for with James Wiseman. So, yeah, I mean, when I say Decky, I mean Dejan Milojevic. I don't want to go on a Kendrick Perkins thing. But, yeah, Milojevic has done a tremendous job with Looney this year, and he's worked with Wiseman. So if they stay healthy and they continue to develop, I think that'll be a pretty solid position for the Warriors.
Yeah, and obviously two players who it looks like they didn't take exactly a hometown discount like Looney did is Gary Payton II and Otto Porter Jr. GP2, he's going to stay close. He's going to, it looks like, the Portland Trailblazers reportedly on a three-year deal. I think it's $28 million. It could be up to $30 million. And it just seems like that's the price tag that the Warriors weren't going to reach. And Otto Porter Jr. is on a two-year deal reportedly to the Toronto Raptors. Two players that obviously were key contributors, mostly off the bench, but even had starts at times for this title run. So for how much they need to bring back Looney and how important that is to bring him back, it certainly hurts to lose those two guys. Is Gary the bigger loss, or do you think Otto, for all, again, the little things that he did and the way he was able to stretch the floor, he's just as much of a big loss as well?
No, I think they're both losses. I think Gary's a bigger loss because he's so unique. He's an automatic game changer, and there aren't many of those guys in the NBA who come off the bench and do that. You know, you look at guys, usually when you think of a sixth man, you think of a Lou Williams or Jamal Crawford, one of those guys who comes off the bench and makes plays on offense. Well, GP2 did that on defense. You know, he come into the game and you could almost set your watch. You know, okay, how long will it take before he makes an impact, right? Before he does something great for the Warriors. And a lot of times it was like a minute or less. So those guys are hard to come by, and it's going to be hard to replace him. I know that the Warriors are looking at guys like Moody and maybe even Ryan Rollins and thinking, you know, they can fill some of that because both of those guys do play defense. But again, there's one thing to have a good defensive player. It's another thing to have a defensive impact player. And Gary is both. He's both. And so you look around the league, there just aren't many guys like that, you know, and people want to compare him to Patrick Beverley. I personally think he gives a team more than Pat Bev does. Because again, you know, Pat Bev can't be your dunker. You know, he's not going to be roaming around the baseline getting, you know, easy baskets and offensive rebounds. So yeah, that's going to hurt. Otto is a guy that I think they look at him and go, you know what? We could get a lot of what we got from Otto from Kuminga, some from Kuminga, some from Moody, some from Wiseman, you know, young guys who can come in and give them some of what Otto gave them, the rebounding, you know, the 3-point shooting, a little bit of everything. Yeah, they don't have the veteran savvy. None of those guys do. Well, Moody is a pretty smart, I mean, he's pretty advanced for a youngster. But I think if you look at those three guys, and I think this is really what the Warriors' strategy is. You know, we won a championship now. So if ever there's a time to try and make that transition even harder toward the future, it's now. You know, we got a championship. If we don't win one next year, hey, we're getting rings on opening night. So now if they hadn't won a championship, I think these past couple of days would have played out a little bit differently. But they had that in their back pocket now. And they can think, you know what? Yeah, Moody, we need more of you. JK, we need more from you. Wiseman, we need more from you. Jordan Poole's gonna take another jump. So goes back to their development staff, which they invested in last season. You saw the dividends. They were huge for Gary Payton. And so I think that's what you're looking at now. But yeah, Gary's gonna be missed. Otto too, but I think Gary more so because it's just so different.
It really does kind of start with a combination of those two young guys like we mentioned with Moody and Kuminga. And it's almost like mixing both of them, they're going to try to get what they could out of Gary and Otto. I think especially Gary, because like again, you're not going to find an exact replacement for a Gary Payton II, as you brought up. That kind of defender at his height and to be the dunker on offense, it doesn't happen. You know, right. But then I go back to Moses Moody and I think about the Western Conference Finals when Gary was out and Moody started to be trusted with some more minutes. He essentially kind of played that Gary Payton II role where he was surrounded by shooters. He played about 13 minutes a game. And then you look at that when they almost had that big comeback in the fourth quarter of game 4, I believe it was, And in that fourth quarter, you know, there was no more hesitation on offense. He scored 8 of his 10 points there, made both three-pointers, and had 2 steals but 4 deflections. So he's another guy who's 6'6", so a different body type than Gary Payton, but has, I think, like a 7'1" wingspan. So he's going to be one of those guys. So I think will be – I already expected a big leap in year 2 from him because they trust him so much as far as his maturity for a 20-year-old. But it just feels like the clock for his readiness has to kind of, all right, it's time now. You know, like it starts in summer league with him playing in the California Classic. This to me is going to be a big summer for Moses Moody.
Yeah. If you're Joe Lacob and Peter Guber and you're saying, okay, you know, no matter what we're going to do, we're going to be paying way over the tax. We can't avoid that. It's going to happen. But if we invest, I mean, you look at Moody and Kuminga, and Jordan Poole and Wiseman, you got 4 guys on rookie deals. 4 guys. You know, Jordan going into his last year on that deal, but you got 4 guys on rookie deals. That's pretty cheap. Now, they got by this year pretty cheap when you look at GP2 and Otto Porter Jr. and Jordan. The 3 of those guys combined made less than $7 million. Combined. So
it's a big deal.
They cheated the Reaper in that regard, you know? They got away with one. So this next season, I think they want to get something similar from JK and from Moody and from Wiseman. And Wiseman making more money because he's a top 2 pick, actually. So he's making pretty good money. But again, I think if you're looking at Wiseman and Moody and Kuminga, I think the word Joe Lacob is saying, you know what? Okay, it's time to start seeing those guys give us something. They gave us a little bit last year, but we need more now because – again, Steph, Clay, Draymond, a year older. Looney and Wiggins are kind of in the middle there. You know, they're both in their mid to late 20s, and they can kind of sort of be a bridge. But the youngsters, it's time for those guys to get going, and I think that's what they're looking for.
Dude, when I look at what Gary brought to the table also, though, someone I do think about is Jordan Poole because of who mixes and matches with him. We know that Jordan can go get a bucket right now already. He proved that. He can score at the NBA level. But we know that his downside right now is on defense. It's where he needs to improve the most on. So someone like a Gary Payton II sharing the floor with him, let him, you know, have those spells sometimes where he wasn't very effective on defense. I think with the Trailblazers, and it's a really good fit for them with Damian Lillard, with Anthony Simons. So I think if any team outside the Warriors was going to fit Gary really well, it might actually be the Blazers. And then I just think about what this group, with Jordan, you know, is there a free agent out there? Is it just Moses Moody? Is it maybe Quindary Weatherspoon earning a roster spot too that you try to mix and match those defensive players while he's on the floor at the same time?
Yeah, they do like Quindary. So, you know, I think he'll get a shot. I'm curious to see the camp roster. I'm curious to see the Vegas, not so much California Classic, but the Vegas summer league roster to see how that plays out. See if they get out of Kuminga and Wiseman. Moody, we know Moody's going to be there. We know what he can do. But I think they're looking for leaps from Wiseman and Kuminga. And if Weatherspoon is, you know, he's got decent two-way potential, I think they would definitely give him a good look. But they still need at least one more vet, whether it's and probably a wing, who can do some things for him.
Yeah, and those aren't the only two guys that it looks like aren't going to be coming back from this championship roster. It looks like, obviously, Juan Toscano-Anderson, the Bay Area legend, as we've talked about, plus Nemanja Bjelica are going down different roads. Appears that Bjelica is going back to Europe, and JTA will be going just down to Southern California for a certain team called the Los Angeles Lakers. So between those two guys, you know, where do you think that they might feel that loss more? Or it's different kind of losses too, obviously, right? Because they both brought so much different skills to the table. But also, you know, Juan was this guy in the locker room. And you know, he was, again, one of those kind of other hearts to the team. Bjelica was a really smart veteran, a floor spacer. So it seems like that's another hole that they're going to try to have to mix and match as well.
Yeah, I think with JTA, you know, he gave them something on both ends of the court. He could hit a shot, you know, but he kind of fell out of the rotation as the season went on. And some of that, again, if Moody and Kuminga aren't there, maybe he's still playing and maybe gets more minutes. but Mooney and Kuminga are there, and they are being paid for. They're high draft picks, so you'll get more time from them, and you'll expect more from both of those guys. So when I look at them, I think JTA, he barely played in the postseason, you know. And so, but everybody in that locker room loves him. They appreciate what he did. And he was a team guy from day one to the last minute, you know. And so I think it meant a lot to him to have that year where he spent with his hometown team and won it all. I mean, it's really kind of a dream, you know.
It truly is, yeah.
Yeah. And then Belly, you know, I think Belly, even if he were to come back, you know, he'd be a spot player because, you know, and that assumes, again, that they will find another wing that can shoot the three. Because some of those minutes that would have gone to Belly are going to go to James Wiseman next year. And that's where they want those minutes to go. You don't want Wiseman sitting out behind the arc, but he can go out there and make a shot. You know, he's not Karl Anthony Towns right now, but I'm not sure you want him to be Karl Anthony Towns. You just want him to be able to have that threat. So I think Belly he played well in the postseason. I think he certainly surprised me. I'm sure many others with the way he defended in the postseason, because I thought in the regular season it might be tough to put him on the floor in the postseason.
And he shut Jason Tatum down.
Yeah, he held his own. So, and I think that's what the Warriors were. You know, maybe, you know, he'd be good to bring him back. But he seems to have his heart set on going back overseas and doing his thing over there. And in that case, you wish him well.
Win a Ford F-150 at Drayton Resort and Casino. One truck winner and $50,000 in cash each Friday. Drawings on the last Friday of the month. Win a new truck with Drayton Resort and Casino's Big Ford Truck Giveaway.
Exactly. And now that you brought Karl-Anthony Towns up now, you know, every team obviously is going to be gunning for the Warriors once again. You know, they kind of – maybe they can bring back those super villain balloons, you know, over that pool party, have another one of those days, a nice summer hot day in the Bay Area. But everyone's going to be coming for them. And apparently the Minnesota Timberwolves are one of those teams. They don't want to just win the play-in tournament. They want to go for something even bigger now. And that giant move was bringing a giant in Rudy Gobert to pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. You have two centers that are now making a combined $430 million. Monty, I just want to know, kind of in this modern day age of basketball, what, like, how crazy is that move to you? What do you expect out of this modern Twin Towers?
Well, you know, the Timberwolves already were pretty big. And now you've got, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns is a fraction below 7 feet. And you've got Rudy Gobert, who is well above 7 feet. It's a little bit, I guess you could look at Memphis, you know, when they play Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr., Jaren Jackson 6'11", Adams 7 feet, whatever. It's kind of like that with size, but Karl-Anthony Towns really doesn't play much on the block. You know, he's really a jump shooter, a three-point
champion.
He's got a nice shot. So he can move to the four and be a stretch four, which I think is what he wants to be anyway. And what Gobert can do, though, is he can make up for some of the defensive deficiencies that you have when you deal with Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. Cat doesn't play much defense.
No.
Neither does D'Angelo. So you need someone back there who can kind of clean up their messes, especially D'Angelo. And I think that's what you're looking at, because Pat Bev is gone now. So, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it works. But I know that teams won't mind putting Rudy Gobert in pick and roll. And the Warriors definitely don't mind doing that. And so, I do want to see how that plays out, because, you know, going small is like popular. And the Timberwolves are saying, nope, we're going to go the other way. I like it. I like the idea that they're going to try something different and see where it goes.
It's always fun when a team, a coach, whoever zigs when everyone else zags. So I'm super interested to see what they're going to be like. You talk on paper about, you know, making up for the deficiencies, like you said, on defense with a D'Angelo, a Karl-Anthony Towns. I think Anthony Edwards is a superstar waiting to happen. I mean, he's such an amazing athlete. We know that he can already put up a 40-point night, and he's someone athletically wise that can turn into a really good defensive player too.
Can I just throw think football?
Yeah, oh my God, did you see that? You talk about two sport athletes. This guy seems like he can do it all. He can act, he can throw a football. I don't even know how far that was. It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was a dime too. I think he passes the football a little more than he wants to pass the basketball, but that's for a different story. When I think of Rudy, though, I think about how the Warriors have played them and also how the Jazz have performed in the playoffs. For someone who keeps racking up these Defensive Player of the Year awards, you know, at his height, is this a regular season team or is this a 16-win playoff team, though? That's where I get, hey, I really want to see the experiment, but I just don't know if they might be a top four. They might be a top four, top five team regular season standing-wise in the West, but – man, I just don't know if that's a winning team when it comes down to it.
I don't buy that they're going to win right now. And again, maybe that's my bias against D'Lo. I have a hard time seeing D'Angelo Russell being a crucial member of a championship team. And if he's on your team, he's going to be a crucial member. You know, you don't have him there to be a guy playing 8 minutes a night, you know? So, again, I'm curious to see how it plays out because I want to see how the two bigs do. But Minnesota's a team I got to see to believe, and really I'm skeptical. So I just want to see how it goes.
Yeah, and look, the T-Wolves also obviously kind of maybe they shifted the momentum in the Western Conference, but nothing would change it as much like a catastrophic move with Kevin Durant possibly now being traded to the Phoenix Suns. He's that whole, I don't even have the word for it. I don't even know what to call it. That whole soap opera, whatever you want to say about it, in Brooklyn, that show spectacle between him, Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets, it appears that it might actually be over. And so he has requested a trade, and reportedly atop his list are the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. So we think about a big three of CP3, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. Is that the favorite right away? I mean, what can you even say about that? That kind of does, it seems like it hits every base what you want out of a big three.
Yeah, certainly offensively, you know.
Yeah, offensively, yes. No question about it.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin can play defense, but, you know, Kevin's offense focused. And he can be a really good defender. You know, I think as he gets older and his body, he puts more on his body, it's going to be harder for him to do that. He gets to decide, you know, how much energy he's going to put on both ends. And I think he's going to put most of it on offense. Chris Paul, you know, he's going to be 37, I think, or is 37. And so it's going to be tougher for him to be a great defender. I think he's already lost a little bit on his defensive, and Devin Booker is just, I mean, he played better defensively last year than he had in the past, but he hadn't. The bar was so low because he didn't defend much at all before. And last year, it seemed he discovered defense and played it, you know, well, fairly well for most of the season. But to me, if they lose DeAndre Ayton, I still, if they gain Kevin Durant and lose Ayton, it makes some an interesting watch. But they put a lot of defense on the plate of Mikal Bridges. And he's a good defender, but he's mostly a one guy defender. He mostly got Mikal, you take this guy. He's mostly that. He's not a guy that's going to defend the whole court for the most part. So, yeah, can they be top four with Kevin Durant? Hell yeah, hell
yeah, they can be top four. Yeah,
but Kevin Durant ain't good for nothing. So let's see what goes out to get Kevin in, and go from there. So it's hard to believe they're going to have a team next year with Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. That would be insane. It can't work out that way. It can't work out financially that way. So Robert Sarver is not going to do that. So we'll see.
That's where it all comes down to is what else is the puzzle looking like? You know, sure, you can have three amazing pieces that can take up the majority of it, but if you are, what's left of DeAndre Ayton, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges? So, sure, go ahead and give away all the draft picks you want as the Phoenix Suns. We know you want to win right now, But if you're going to lose maybe a few or all three of those really important pieces right now, yeah, it's just going to be tough to see what else is going to be around them. Because that's where it kind of comes down to with the Warriors' big three. When you think about, obviously, it's an aging big three. Devin Booker's a lot younger than Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, or Draymond Green. But Steph Curry's a lot better defensive player than he used to be. I'd say that he's a better defensive player than Chris Paul is. Klay Thompson now is going to be he has that many games under his belt after coming off of his 2.5 year hiatus. So you can maybe you expect a stronger Klay Thompson next year. There's arguments, I think, for both sides. And then Draymond Green, you know, we saw a little bit in the playoffs of how much consistency is it going to be going forward. But when Draymond wants to be Draymond, and if he's playing that team, he's going to want to be Draymond, especially on the defensive end. So the defense is what's going to come down to if you're looking at those two kind of big threes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the West is going to be so interesting next year, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Phoenix is going to be interesting no matter what they do. Utah is going to be, I think, partly rebuilding. I think they're going to take a drop, you know, and they got a lot of draft picks now looking at the future. Memphis is going to be back and they're going to be tough. New Orleans is going to be in the mix now. You know, I think what they did in the offseason in the draft, even what they did last season when they picked up C.J. McCollum, you know, I think they made themselves better, and that little postseason experience was good for them, just getting in there and getting the feel of it a little bit. Portland is making some nice moves. I think they're back in the playoffs next year. I think, you know, maybe not top four, but I think they're back in the mix for the playoffs next year. So Dallas, you know, lose Brunson, that's going to hurt. We'll see where it goes. So there's a lot of moving parts to what could possibly happen. But I still think at this point, the Warriors are in pretty good shape. I don't know if they're favorites right now, but they're in pretty good shape.
And if Kevin Durant is dealt, doesn't mean that he has to go, obviously, to the Phoenix Suns or the Miami Heat, which reportedly are his top two teams. To me, like, the two most fun teams might be either Portland or New Orleans, two teams that you just brought up that are kind of on the rise, would be a lot of fun. I mean, the Portland, we just think about it, obviously, with the Seattle, with the whole Greg Oden thing, all of this, the Pacific Northwest, I think him and Dame together would be a ton of fun. And then obviously with New Orleans, you would assume you'd most likely have to get rid of Brandon Ingram. That's a guess, but you pair Kevin Durant and again, healthy Zion Williamson, then it's just fun. So when I'm thinking of just the two most fun teams that he could be dealt to, that's who I'm looking for, is either Portland or New Orleans. Do you have a team that you're like, all right, if, you know, video game wise, this would be really fun to see Kevin Durant on this kind of squad?
I Miami probably, because I think, well, Tyler Hero had another good year, you know, sixth man of the year kind of year, and I don't know if Duncan Robinson's going to stink it up like he did last season again. You know, he got a nice contract, and then he was unplayable in the postseason. But Bam Adebayo is going to be there. Kyle Lowry should be healthier and better. I like parts. I mean, obviously, Jimmy's going to be the guy that sort of dictates the temperature and the pace at which they play. And just he's going to set the tone.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that plays out, though. I mean, I can see why Miami is obviously a popular destination, but because they're always in it because of they're one of those culture teams, you know, Heat culture. But these couple of days into free agency, man, have been wild. But, you know, what do we expect? I mean, I didn't expect Kevin Durant to say, I want out. But when you go to free agency with the NBA, just going with an open mind, because anything can happen.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun already. And again, I when I talked about New Orleans, I didn't even bring up C.J. McCollum. So that's, again, you're going to have, if it's that team, you got some kind of mix of KD, Zion, Brandon Ingram, C.J. So we should have fun with it, because this isn't even real yet. We don't know what's going to happen with KD or Kyrie next, obviously. But when it comes to the Warriors, do you think, what position do you think after bringing back Kevon, losing Gary, losing Otto, what is kind of next on their to-do list? That one spot, whether it be a wing, a shooter, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I Bob Myers likes to say you can never have too many shooters. And that's going to be a big part of it, because when they signed Porter and Belly last year, what did they say? Both of these guys can shoot. They're both shooters, and they both came in handy. Certainly, OPJ did, because, you know, he played big minutes and started some games in the postseason and played a big role. So, and spacing is going to be an issue as they make this transition, because Kuminga can shoot the three, but he's still working on getting his shot, quickening his shot. You know, he needs a little time to set it up and let it go. If he's left wide open, he can make them. But if he starts making them, then he'll be open less. So they could always use some more shooting, and preferably from a wing who can play, who can guard multiple positions. Now, you know, we can go down a list of people who might be able to do that, but how many of those guys will you be able to get for cheap? Like, yeah, you know, they got Otto last year as a bargain. They got Billy as a bargain last year, two vet minimum deals. Can they get a couple more guys like that? Guys who either want to sort of revive their career like Otto did, or guys who are thinking, you know, these guys might get me a championship. And I think that's what they have to sell if they're looking at someone, because they can say, look what Gary Payton II, you know, where was he a year ago? And now, you know, he's a guy in demand because he's in our system. We use him properly. We developed him great. And look, and now he got a nice deal in free agency. So, and there's always a guy or two that's looking at the long game and saying, yeah, you know, maybe I got to suck it up for 1 year, that minimum. But hey, I'm 28, 29 years old. If I do well, maybe next year, you know, I triple my salary. So there you go.
That's right, Monty. The Warriors and every other team, they're always looking for more shooting in the offseason. And of course, right when we go to wrap this up, it appears Golden State is making another move, reportedly agreeing to terms with guard Dante DiVincenzo on a 2-year, $9.3 million deal. And to me, I really, really like this move at this point in free agency to add DiVincenzo, who I still believe Moses Moody is going to make the leap in year two, have a bigger role, see more minutes. But DiVincenzo, this is someone who is only 25 years old, but does have championship pedigree, winning a ring with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's 6'4". He's a really, really good athlete. He can jump out the gym. And again, this is somebody who, yes, he can add some offense, but it's more about kind of replacing a little bit of that athleticism and defensive presence that they lose with Gary Payton II headed to Portland. So this is, of course, something that we'll talk about much more on next week's episode of Dubs Talk, presented by Wendy's, as well as some California Classic and some Summer League talk. So check back in. I'm Dalton. He's Monty. Rate, subscribe, and review. And thanks again for always listening.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.